Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the newly named Lombardi Ave News and Views podcast, where we discuss everything Green Bay Packers for as much as our time allows. Just so happens we get a double dose today because our first show of the season happens to fall on game day on a Thursday night. Our podcast will be on LombardiAd.com every Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 8:30, where myself and site editor of LombardiAd.com, Raymond T. Rivard, will be a regular guest. And so I'd like to welcome you all this morning. I am your host, Davey Miller. And Raymond T. Rivard, first of all, right out of the gate, Raymond, let me say welcome to a new season on the Lombardi Ave News and Views podcast. Just give me your top-of-the-head general thoughts about the season finally getting here before we talk specifically about tonight's game.
Well, good morning, Davey. It's great to be here again.
Yeah, I tell you what, no one's more excited than we are. No one's less excited than we are. Packer Nation as a whole, you can't get no more excited than we are. The NFL, Ray, the NFL's never been more popular than it is right now. And all eyes are going to be on the Green Bay-Seattle game tonight at 7:30 Wisconsin time.
Yeah, I was going to answer your question there. Just wanted to make sure I was online and you could hear me. Excitement is the key word today. You know, the initial thoughts that I have off the top of my head are that it's kind of hard to believe that football season is here already. Summer has gone by. The Brewers are tanking. And it's time to play some football.
Well, the Brewers aren't tanking. Tanking to me is a dirty word. That means lose on purpose. I think what the Brewers are doing is they're just spiraling. And unless they can stop the bleeding against the Cardinals this weekend, who knows what the remainder holds. But today is football. Today is Green Bay Packers, game one of the season, on the road against defending Super Bowl champion, the Seattle Seahawks, who will be raising their banner tonight of their championship year. They're a mouthy group. They're a confident group. They're a fast group. How do you see the game playing out overall, Ray?
I see you're right. They are a very talented football team, and I think that if the Packers are going to do anything tonight, they've got to be on their A game. And, you know, there's several things that they're going to have to do. You know, some points that I'd like to touch on as we move along in the program here. But the number one thing is, you know, they're on the road. They've got to play the way the Green Bay Packers play. They've got to set the tempo. And, you know, if Seattle comes out and they're all over Aaron Rodgers like they were the last time the Packers were in Seattle, it's going to be a long night. But, you know, it's the first game of the year. Everybody's going to be flying. So it should be a good one.
Well, my thoughts are overall is Seattle is an awesome football team, and so many teams have improved this year, as we talked about on another podcast, Ray, that the Green Bay Packers have certainly improved. But if you look even just in the NFC North, and then Jacksonville and Cleveland and all of these teams that have – this was a deep draft, everybody was saying, and they were right. And as a result, a lot of teams have improved. As far as the Green Bay Packers go, here's the way I see it. First of all, I think the team to beat this year, no respect to Seattle, I think our biggest challenger is the New Orleans Saints. They got the same level quarterback that we've got. their question, and they picked that Brandon Cooks up right before we drafted Clinton Dix at 21. They drafted him at 20. And I often think that if New Orleans hadn't picked him, the Packers, with their receiving group bleak at that time, I would not have been surprised to see them pick Brandon Cooks. He just elevates an already elite quarterback. If they can get their defense straightened out, and word on the street is they have, with Rex Ryan's brother Rob down there running the show, not only is Seattle and Green Bay contenders in that NFC, but the New Orleans Saints are as well. And then, of course, you've got the 49ers. So it's there's a lot of exciting football to be played, and the most exciting game of the weekend is tonight.
Yep. And I agree with you completely about New Orleans. They are a scary bunch. In fact, when
Drew
I did
Brees
see
scares
you,
me to death. I mean, he's an Aaron Rodgers in the mirror. I would take Drew Brees over Brady Manning any day of the week.
And he's, you know, nobody talks much about Drew Brees, but he's
nope.
the pro's pro. You know, he's just such a great leader, such a great player. If they get players around him, like you say, they are going to be a team to reckon with, no question about it.
The only difference, in my opinion, between Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest to ever play the game, I think we can say that now, is their physical stature. Other than that, as far as quarterbacking, I told you this many times last year, Ray, and you already knew it, was Drew Brees. My gosh, he's Aaron Rodgers' equal.
Yep, no question about it. So I agree with you. I would put them up over San Francisco as the team to watch. And then there's going to be some dark horses coming out, and we all know it, you know, even in our own division. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bears and the Lions, and who knows, you know, maybe the Vikings are going to turn the corner this year as well. So, boy,
last show a couple of weeks ago that the Vikings were a team to watch out for. That Mike Zimmer, he's just got that it factor as far as being a coach. He is just, in my mind, and I've watched every press conference on their website that he has had since the off season, probably about 20 or 30 of them. That guy's an exceptional coach. I don't know why he was. He's 58 years old. Just shows you how competitive it is to get a head coaching job in the NFL. But moving on, we keep there's so much football to talk about. We're so excited. We keep straying off the subject, Ray. Green Bay and Seattle. Here's the way I see it briefly, and give me your thoughts. Green Bay for the season. To me, Eddie Lacy is a combination of Earl Campbell and Roger Craig. They are going – Roger Craig, as you know, was the first running back in the early version of the West Coast, and Bill Walsh just utilized him in the flat, dumping it off to his running back to the tune of 60, 70, 80 catches a year for Roger Craig. And I see that's what McCarthy's wanting to do with Eddie Lacy. So tonight – I see Eddie Lacy being targeted several times, either as a dump off, the fourth guy in the progression, or as the main target, as the running back catching the ball out of the backfield. On the defensive side, we've said it before, Casey Haywood, Mike Neal especially, Nick Perry, Dayton Jones, Clay Matthews, all was injured for majority part of the season last year. They are all first and second round picks. Micah Hyde's going to be better. Clinton Dix is certainly a talent that's been, he's not been quiet, but publicly he's not been talked about a lot. He's just been going about his job, keeping his head down, and he's been very impressive against the run in the preseason. And then, of course, the outside linebackers with the addition of Julius Peppers and a less bulky but less weight by about 15 pounds a man on the defensive line, but quicker, more athletic. So we'll see how that plays out. That, to me, is the story of the defense is they trade in the bulk of Johnny and Raji and who was the other big guy last year? I can't even remember.
Ryan Pickett.
Love Ryan Pickett. They're all gone for Dayton Jones, 185-pound. Latroy Guyon, 315, and Mike Daniels, 304. So to a man, they're about 30 pounds lighter along that defensive front than they were last year. That's my overall assessment of both sides of the ball. I think the defense is going to be the surprise unit of Seattle, offense, defense, Green Bay, offense, defense. I think Green Bay's defense is going to be unleashed tonight. Ray, talk for a while. I've taken some of your time.
Yep, no, not a problem. I agree with you on all those points. I think the key tonight and moving forward is going to be the middle of the field. You're looking at a rookie center, Corey Linsley, stepping in for J.C. Treader. I think we'll all be watching with keen interest to see how he holds up, especially in light of the comments from the prayer group led by Bruce Irvin's over in Bruce Irvin over in Seattle. We'll be watching to see how he holds up and how he makes the calls at the line of scrimmage. He's got a lot of help around him. He's got sitting on one side, laying on the other, and he's got Aaron Rodgers behind him. So he's got a trio of guys there who are going to help him through this. No question about it.
He also has had 2 weeks in his mind knowing he's going to be the guy. It's not like he found out last night.
Exactly. So that will be a key linchpin to tonight's game and future games moving forward. And then flip that on the other side of the ball, the key, again, on the defensive side of the ball is going to be the defensive line. They've made so many changes there. They've gone with what seems to be quickness and speed over girth and weight. And we'll see how they hold up. You know, if they can stuff the line with the help of the linebackers behind them and shut down or at least contain Marshawn Lynch as well as contain Russell Wilson, I think they'll be okay. You know, my feeling is, Davey, if this defense can keep the opposition to two touchdowns and a field goal every week, this team is going to be very successful because we already know what the offense can do. I don't think there are going to be many teams that are going to shut down Aaron Rodgers in this offense completely. They're going to score at least three times a game. And, you know, so if the defense can get off the field on third downs and make some plays, get some turnovers this year, especially from their safeties, they're gonna be competitive all year. And I think we'll see that tonight. If they can come out, and, you know, I'm kind of hoping that they defer on the kickoff if they win the toss, just because I always like it when they do that. Not only do they get the ball at halftime, but they, you know, they can come out and really set the tone for the game. It can work in the opposite direction too, but, you know, that's the risk you take. So a couple things, the center of the field, protecting Aaron Rodgers, establishing the run game, establishing, like you said, those short passes. And I think not only are they going to use Lacy in those short running back passes, screen plays, but you're going to see James Starks and Dwan Harris get some time on the field tonight too, running those types of plays where they can get out into space and make things happen. So I think defensively and offensively, the Packers, you know, everybody's writing them off. You know, all the experts aren't giving them a chance in hell to win this game tonight. You know, these guys are pros, play their hearts out. And I think this game is going to be closer than most of the experts are saying. And, yeah, the Packers have as good a shot to win this game as any team that would be playing Seattle Seahawks tonight. So it should be a good one.
Well, I always have my Homer glasses on, of course, when Aaron Rodgers is under center, but I don't really think that's Homer glasses. I think we've always got a legitimate chance to win, and I think tonight's no different. I already I sent you my predictions. You haven't told me yours because they don't come back the other way. But when I sent you mine, I told you Seattle 34. No, sorry. Green Bay Packers 34, Seattle Seahawks 24. And I think the Packers are going to go right at them. They are so experienced along the guts of that offense. A big question mark, though, Ray, is they kept 9 pass catchers. They kept 4 tight ends and 5 wide receivers. And out of that group of 9 pass catchers, 3 of them are rookies, and another 3, Brian Bostic is injured, Ryan Taylor and Richard Rodgers, they don't have actual game experience. Taylor does on the special teams. So that's 6 out of your 9 pass catchers that have very little experience being a major part of the offense. And that just leaves, and I put Boykins in there in that 6 because he's only was a major contributor for 1 season, 3 quarters of that season. Did a great job, 49 catches, 687 yards, I think. But I got him in that inexperienced group, leaving then only 3 really experienced pass catchers out of 9, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and Andrew Quarles. That, I think, is another area that is going to be interesting to watch. Your thoughts on that pass-catching receiving group of 9? 3 rookies, three others that don't have much experience, and 3 experienced and very talented upper echelon.
I think they'll be just fine. You got to remember who's throwing them the ball. You know, Aaron Rodgers has a tendency at, over the past, 9 years or so to make people look pretty good. So I think the rookies, they're going to be on the national stage for their first professional game. They might have some wide eyes as they get out there, but we also got to remember that they are surrounded by Jordy Nelson, Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb, even Andrew Corliss, guys like that, who are going to say, look, this is the professional level. You're here to play. Let's go out and play. So I think the young guys are going to, they're probably going to maybe drop one here or there because of nerves or whatever, but that's human nature. That's going to happen. But I think these guys, Ted Thompson brought them in. Mike McCarthy has worked them out, and they feel confident in them. So there's no reason why you and I shouldn't be confident that they're going to go out and play Packer football like the rest of the veterans do. So, yeah, I think the pass catchers will be just fine.
Well, I like the coaching staff and how they do coach those young players up and get them ready to play. When called upon, normally you just have 1 or 2 in a group of 9, but here you have 6 in a group of 9. So it's really going to test the coaching staff, stretch them to their limits. But I think they're up to the task as well. OTAs and training camp and watching film and, all these different training things, even though it got started later in May and the practices went from 35 10 years ago to whatever it is now, 21 or 17. I apologize, I can't recall. But the practices have really got shortened, and I think Mike McCarthy and the Packers have done a tremendous job this year. I always felt like we were sneaking and tiptoeing through the preseason, holding our breath for injuries because we've had so many doggone injuries over the last 5 years. But it wasn't by accident. They were crisp, fast-paced, up-tempo practices. They ran those Oklahoma drills, half-line drills, they call them. They had a lot of padded practices. They used their practices smart, is what I'm trying to say. And in doing so, yeah, unfortunate, B.J. Raji, J.C. Treader, Jared Aberderis, three guys out of 90. But compared to years past, I read somewhere where they cut the number of practices in half this training camp of players missed as opposed to last year. So I think, you know, so my point is with what you were saying, the way the Green Bay Packers train their people to get them ready, it all starts with everything from the Ted Thompson and the football operation all the way down. The things they do for the players, and, you know, they're bringing in that one GPS guy. And, Ray, they're just at the cutting edge of what the NFL is trying to do. Little old Green Bay is on the leading edge of modern NFL technology.
And you hit it right on the head, Davey, by saying, by bringing this topic up. I think the Packers have, you know, what I really like about Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy is that they listen, they hear, and they observe what's going on around them. They don't, and they react, and they plan. So they, this is, like you said, this isn't by mistake that they've cut the number of missed practices in half. You know, they've taken the steps in the planning room, in the training room, to make sure that these guys stay on the field. And it seems, so far at least, seems to be working. And, you know, that's what I like about the Green Bay Packers organization is they've got people in place who just seem to make good decisions. You know, you can you can complain about Mike McCarthy's play calling and so forth all you want, but you know, in the 9-10 years that he's been in Green Bay, he's continued to carry on the tradition that has been carried on in the past couple decades. You know, so yeah, you're right, and I'm glad you brought that up because that's a very important point to point out about this franchise is that they got smart people in place, and you know, frankly, that's why this team continues to win.
Yeah, those steady elite franchises, you know, you have, I can't think of all of them right now, but your Bill of Checks, you know,
right.
Drew Brees, Sean Payton, you know, McCarthy, I think those are the top three, and Tom Coughlin are your top four tenured coaches in the NFL or close to it. And you've got, what, six or seven Super Bowl rings between those guys. So, on the other spectrum, you had the Cleveland Browns changing head coaches as often as they change their dirty laundry. I think that's going to be an exciting franchise up ahead, and Jacksonville as well. But, Ray, give me your final thoughts and predictions. This is the last segment before I got to close her down. So take a few minutes and give me your final thoughts and your prediction because I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah. It's going to be a great game, as we all know. I think it's going to be highly competitive. It's going to be close. I would like to believe that the Packers will run away with it, like you're saying, and they might, you know, depending on many various factors. But I just have a gut feeling going into Seattle, into that stadium with the 12th man, the noise, the large number of rookies that will be playing for the Packers. I think it's going to be a competitive game, and it is going to be close. And I think it's going to come down to as the clock expires. I'm seeing the Packers and Mason Crosby converting a field goal as the clock goes down to zero, and they win 20-19.
Well, a win's a win, no matter how pretty or ugly it is.
That's right.
So, yeah, you know, and, you know, we still got a little bit of time left. Tough first five games for the Packers at Seattle Seahawks, but then they do get 10 days off. But then they got to play the New York Jets up at Lambeau, and that's kind of a boring offense. They do have some weapons this year. They're another one of those teams that I paid attention to during the offseason. They got a heck of a defense, Ray. So after that, I don't remember what order, but they play all three NFC teams. They play Chicago, Minnesota, and Detroit, three games in a row after these first two. So it's going to be interesting to see what their record is after these first five games. So hopefully they get off to a good start and or above 500 after that first five. You've been listening to the newly named LombardiAv.com Packers News and Views podcast, where I am your host, Davey Miller. We'd like to thank you for checking us out this morning, and you can do so now every Tuesday and Thursday morning at LombardiAv.com. At 8:30 in the morning, where myself and Raymond T. Rivard and guest staff writers from the same site will be talking about the current news and the previous game and the upcoming games all in one show over a 30-minute period, the new Lombardi App Packers News and Views show. Thank you, Ray. For our producer, Raymond T. Rivard, I am your host, Davey Miller. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Go Packers, 34-24 over the Seattle Seahawks. Okay, go ahead, Ray. I think we got a couple of extra minutes here.
Okay. Yeah, good show, Davey.
Yeah, very exciting, very excited.
What? Are you watching live tonight, or are you taping?
I'm always taping. I'll watch the game about 45 minutes after it starts.
Yeah.
I don't have to listen to any commercials.
Yeah.
I hate commercials.
Yeah. Well,
so
yeah,
I can't help you on that chat thing, buddy. I'm sorry,
fine. I got a couple guys who expressed interest in that, so I think we're good with that.
Maybe I'll talk to my wife and see if we can work that out somehow. She can sit there and type during commercials. Anyway, what were you going to say?
Yeah, whatever you want to do is good. Are you planning anything post game?
I can only do one show a day on Blog
okay.
Talk.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
Let me talk quick. We're not going with a nightly show at 10 o'clock like we had discussed. It's too confusing to remember. It's 8:30 in the morning. Every Tuesday and Thursday morning, week after week, 8:30 in the morning, every Tuesday and Thursday. You committed to Tuesday. I'm hoping you commit to Thursday. You need to put out a mass email with that schedule inviting people to fill in the slots for September, give them the dates of the shows and ask people to fill in their name. I don't have that mass email, you know. I reset everything after we finally got it working. Isn't that crazy, Ray?
I tell you what, shoot me an email reminder I'm out of the office right now, and and I'll be back in there probably about a half an hour. So if you can shoot me an email, just a reminder to do that, I'll get that done today.
And I will also remind you to play the replay tonight sometime for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, tonight it doesn't really matter. No, don't do it tonight.
Oh.
This is a special case. Don't worry about the replay tonight. Every time after this, you want to do a replay, but not tonight.
Not on game night.
Right.
Okay.
Everyone's listening to the game. It's old news.
Right. Right.
Hey, we move. We're fluid here at Lombardi News and Views. When the news happens, we're there. We can't rely on this morning's news tonight. It's
exactly.
Changed.
I hear you.
But... all right, Ray, I got to go, buddy.
Yep.
Great show, and I will talk to you soon.
Sounds very good, Davey. Thanks much.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, bye.